Whose fault? Let's play the play game. I love you more. Let's play the play game for sure. Let's call a name. I hate you more. Let's call a name for sure. I'll call you bitch for sure. As a last resort and my first resort. You call me motherfucker for long. At the end of it, you know we both were wrong. But I love to play the game, game. I love you more. Let's play the game, game. For sure. Let's call a name, name. I hate you more. Let's call a name, name.
There is only one holistic system of systems.
Everything just turned bombs. But it looks fine.
I feel like, oh, yeah, it looks good. Like
Trump blonde, that's what I'm calling it.
Yeah. I one time was Billy Idol for Halloween, and I bleached my hair, of course. And it, I didn't know that you're supposed to let the bleach set in after you take it out.
Yeah.
So I did it again. And then I washed it out again. And I was like, it's still not quite where I wanted it to be. So I did it again. And by the time the bleach came off, my hair was fucking fried.
Yeah.
I had gigantic yellow scabs coming off of my skull. Oh. And I was like petrified that I was going to go bald. But of course, I have like insanely good hair genetics for whatever reason. I figure with the amount of fucking Deca and Trenbolone that I've pummeled through my system and I still got the hair holding up, I should be all right. Especially at my age. All right, let's fucking roll into this shit. Welcome back to another episode of System of Systems, the audio misinformation arm of the Safety Propaganda Counterintelligence Network. These are your hosts, Adam Lehrer.
And Will Sampson.
And tonight, we brought on a guest, Mr. Matthew DeNicola, photographer and a man that I will owe an eternal debt towards for photographing my family and I on what turned out to be literally the last day of our late Puggle BB's life. So I'll never forget that you did that for us. Thank you so much for being there for us.
Thank you, man.
And of course, we have another pug back in the mix now. Let's introduce Uma to the audience. This is Uma, short for Umami. She's a really special little creature. And as special as she is not the main topic of conversation tonight, for we have convened to finally do a full, as much as we can, encapsulating conversation about the exploits of the most important, successful, and powerful artist of the 21st century named Kanye West, especially after he seems to be back in the news again. However, there is something strange going on in that typically when Kanye does everything, it just smashes the algorithm. And I think this time you can see that he is being actively suppressed on every single channel. Because, I mean, shit, Matt, you sent me the fucking link to his website, which apparently had like William Blake images and like some facts about technology corruption. And I was like, wow, this sounds fucking amazing. It was already blocked from the internet as soon as I logged on. This is for sure the craziest bit of censorship we've seen so far, because this man has made billions of dollars for not just himself, but for some of the most powerful people alive. And now we got another dog in the mix. but I think a good way to start this conversation would be to discuss the moments when we all realized that Kanye was indeed a genius. Matt, why don't you start?
Nah, bro, that's so fucking hard because, and we were chatting the other day, and I've just been so, like, I was just so fired up because this new album rollout has been highly controversial. You know, ever since, like, ever since I think Jesus is King, and after that, people have been like, he's washed, Kanye's done, especially after the past year with the, like, well, even before that, you know, when he said like slavery is a choice,
yeah,
and that people took that whole thing like out of context,
yeah.
People have been like, "Yo, Kanye's not real anymore." It's like they replaced him with a clone. Like, we want the old Kanye back, and like, people need to realize that this new phase is like some of the most exciting shit happening right now. Like, he's the only musician. He's the only artist. Period. That I fucking care about.
Yeah.
He's the only person that for a release that I'm gonna, like, I will literally drop everything I'm doing. But people don't listen to him, man. Like, he's really about it. Like, everything that he says he's gonna do, he has to verbalize, and then he goes and achieves that exact thing. And people don't understand, like, the level of confidence he has. Because look, the point of Kanye is that he will, like, put the confidence that he has toward himself, it's up for you, if you're a fan of him, that you're gonna take part of that and believe in yourself in that same way. So he's just like, I mean, genius is an understatement, because look, he takes from everything, bro. Like, he's a real arty dude. Like, he puts himself not only with like top tier artists, but he puts himself with like top tier inventors, with businessmen. Like, everything that he does, there's that level of seriousness too. It's not just a toss off. He's thinking like, I'm trying to make finished products that are going to last centuries. That's going to be around after he's gone. And he's just going to keep producing shit. And so, like, I don't know about the first time, but the past few months have just been, like, literally every day, like, any piece of media I can get my hands on, like, any interview, like, I'm going to just listen. Because he's really about his shit, so.
Yeah. What about you, Will?
I actually came to Kanye, and this might be, we might have talked about this a little bit before,
I came
to Kanye pretty fucking late. Like, it's only, like, maybe a little bit after I started like co-hosting the show with you that I actually got into Kanye. And then even then, like, I wasn't as pilled on Kanye as I now am. And that didn't happen till like tail end of last year when, I just sort of really dove in for sort of personal reasons. It just, his discography seemed like it'd be a good sort of, I guess, spiritual armor for what I was going through at the time, which we don't need to talk about. Right. But no, I think, God, his work is so fucking good. he really is a genius. And like, to go, I don't know, to dovetail of what Matt was saying about like him working on all these larger projects, especially with like businessmen and like that era, it being this sort of like total work of media art.
Right.
I don't know. He's in league with like someone like Dolly or like Warhol on that front. Like, he really 100%. Is at that level. Yeah.
He's transcended. He's transcended music producer rapper status a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I would like to circle back on that point because I think it's important. But my first So Kanye's like, dude, Kanye's first album came out when I was a sophomore in high school. And the Through the Wire track. And everybody was like hyped on this fucking guy. But I was like such a teenage edgelord, you know? I liked Dark Throne and Big L. Like, if I needed like the minstrel show for everything. So something about Kanye at first I always associated with the kind of backpacky kind of rap that I hated, even though there was like glistening, beautiful production that obviously elevated it above your average, whatever, Lupe Fiasco or Common or whatever. There was always something there, and like his hooks were so infectious. But the moment that I was sold is actually the first record of his to get a somewhat muted reaction was when I heard 808s and Heartbreaks. When that album came out and I first heard I'm in love with you way I wanted to. And I was like, holy shit, he's channeling. This is like Eyeless in Gaza. This is like 80s. Synth pop felt Eyeless in Gaza, like he's using technology to express a feeling that he feels he can't express through his natural gift. It was an incredibly postmodern artwork in that it sort of recognizes his own limitations. At, you know, he's not a great vocalist, but he needs to sing. He needs to get this feeling out. So he uses this recent tool of an auto-tune and uses it in a way that it had never been used before. Not for just the fucking choruses, but for the verses. He's singing through that machine, and it sounds absolutely elegant, chilling, haunting, and beautiful. And only from there it kind of clicked for me and snowballed that this guy was miles ahead of everybody else. This fucking solidified itself with Dark Twisted Fantasy. The second track fucking with Cudi and Raekwon the motherfucking chef, Gorgeous, has one of the sickest beats I've ever heard in my goddamn life. The Cudi hook is fucking phenomenal. And then, Yeezus, 38 minutes of hyper-edited fucking the rawest shit ever. The best rap vocal performance of his career. The most fucked up beats. He had already been sampling pretty ultra shit like Aphex Twin, but on this record, he's using hot young producers. He sampled Throbbing Gristle. Like, this was an insane album. The push for it, the marketing was stunning. His outfits at the time were really fucking crazy and cool and provocative. And the interviews, the Zane Lowe interview, you ain't got the answer, Sway. All these fucking interviews. And like, he's a Gemini. He's pure Gemini. He talks like a Gemini. He can't stop talking. But he's always saying something true. And for a long time now, like this guy's been around a long time, and he's still easily what you said before, Matthew, about his ability to sort of manifest. I was watching this interview with another one of my kings, Conor McGregor, where he talked about reading this book that his sister gave him that at first he thought was really corny and stupid, just about visualizing and manifesting your future. And he said he started small. He would drive to the shopping mall and just visualize that there would be a car park right in front of the mall every time. And he's like, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But I thought, hey, if it works sometimes, maybe there's something to it. And next thing you know, Connor, of course, is out there. I'm going to knock out Jose Aldo in the first round. I'm going to knock out Chad Mendes in the second round. He does exactly that. He becomes a legend, et cetera, et cetera. Kanye's been doing that, but on such a crazier fucking scale. Like, he did become bigger than Michael Jackson. He did become a fucking billionaire. he did create the hottest, biggest sportswear line in the fucking world. His capacity for achievement while still maintaining what seems to be the rebel spirit of power electronics, as I say, is kind of unparalleled. And another thing that I think needs emphasizing is geniuses of other lifetimes, not even Warhol, certainly not Picasso or Francis Bacon or André Breton, and certainly not the guys before that, ever had to deal with what Kanye endures. No one of his stature has ever lived at a time when you are perpetually and permanently exposed. And we've been watching him navigate this to the point where his very fame and its seismic massiveness has itself, I think, become the central conceit of his entire performative art project. That's the thing. He married Kim Kardashian, for fuck's sakes. I'm sure he loved her, but you can't help but think that, like, of course this guy's going to marry the most famous woman alive. Like, it only makes sense for what he's trying to say or what he's trying to communicate about our world. He said, people got bent out of shape when he said, I am a god, right? He didn't say, I am God. He said, I am a god. What he means is the fucking internet is God. The internet is the central force of the culture. And he, as a druidic force of nature who can command the algorithm at will, is at least a demigod within that structure. And no one has done that shit more stylishly than he has.
I'm not loving you way I wanted to. What I had to do, had to run from you. I'm in love with you, but the vibe is wrong, and it haunted me all the way home. So you never know, never, never know, never know enough till it's over, love, till we lose control. System overload, screaming no, 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 no. I'm not loving you way I wanted to. See, I wanna move, but can't escape from you. So I keep it low, keep a secret code, so everybody else don't have to know. So keep your love.
I think it's so interesting because he's like the genius marketer of the 21st century. You know, he referenced, I was just listening to his like 2019 interview with Big Boy, but like, you know, Yeezy, like number one Google search brand. You know, anytime Yeezy is going to drop, like it's going to sell out instantly. Anytime he put, you know how many TikTok audios Kanye has? He didn't try for that. Like I think people don't understand that he is like a little more self-aware than he lets on, but he's not hindered by that. He's actually empowered by that. You know, so like he's able to create moments that get people talking. And like he's in an interesting position because he's the fucking GOAT musician. He's the greatest artist of the 21st century. And at the same time, he's the most hated.
Yeah.
But you know he's the best. you could try to cancel him. He was saying like, bro, I've been canceled. I've been canceled before cancel culture was a thing. In 2004, on the flip the side, you know, you would think it's like, oh, right winger, left winger thing. You know, he was calling out rappers who were saying like faggot and shit. He was like, yo, it's not cool to like hate on gay people. Let's stop that. And same thing with the George Bush don't care about black people. At the same, nowadays you got people calling him a coon. You got it's not enough that now he's a Nazi, whatever. Now he's been canceled from all sides. It's like, but you can't stop him. You know when he drops, it's gonna be the best new music. I mean, fuck Drake. I don't give a fuck about Drake.
Yeah.
Drake doesn't move like Drake, you know, Drake moves the culture, but like this guy's making art. This is like, you know, Kanye put himself, he put himself like, there's this funny interview. He's like, yo, it's not about me and Drake. It's like, I'm putting myself against Bernard Arnault. That's like, he's putting himself against Steve Jobs. Like, that's what he's trying to do. So,
yeah. And I think Kanye, he doesn't really, I mean, he's already created so many great records. I don't think he really even needs to have, like, I would say the last
I mean, I want him to drop, but he doesn't even have to. Like, his
he doesn't, catalog. Yeah, exactly. The last thing I think of his that was an absolute masterpiece was the Kids See Ghost record. With the blah, blah, blah,
blah. And that was a little Michael Jackson dangerous type reference right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And but
sorry to interrupt, but he pulls from why he's so successful. A lot of these rappers like Lil Yachty now, they're just being put onto like Tame Impala and he thinks he's being different. I just listened to Pink Floyd, The Wall. Now I think I'm a elevated musician. Kanye been listening to... He listens to Lou Reed. He listens to Portishead. He listens to Radiohead. He listens to 80s. He listened to all of it. It's all music. It's all art. So you get boxed into the... He's a black musician. He's a white musician. It's like he's going to pull from... He's the best example of good artist steal.
I don't even think sometimes he even knows the sources. I just think he has the ear for it.
Yeah.
He's got taste, bro. You cannot teach that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was in a legal dispute with Aphex Twin over the Blame Game sample at one point, which was pretty funny. And I'm pretty sure Aphex lost the lawsuit, too, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love Aphex. You know, I wish him and Kanye could get along. But either way, I just think Kanye now is sort of we don't need music from him anymore. We just need him to be. We just need him to keep talking. He's, you know, sometimes artists get to a point where they sort of graduate from their discipline to being something of like a cultural critic, an elder statesman. Morrissey is like this in a lot of ways. Morrissey is not exactly making great records anymore, but he's still, you know, very, very valuable for the way that he thinks and the fact that he's willing to speak it. But as famous as Morrissey is, Kanye's on a whole other level. The attention cannot be compared to anything. Dude, I go on fucking, I won't say the name of it because I don't want to dox it, but there's this very prominent black metal forum of which I've been a poster for a very long time. Typically, when anything rap-related comes up, all you're going to get is a ton of racist comments about jigaboo this, jigaboo that, etc., etc. Kanye, every fucking person respects him. Dude, I know people that are formerly trained musicians in jazz, in modern composition. I've never in my life, even people who hate him, would say that he's anything less than gifted. My brother actually said this once, like sometimes when you listen to Kanye West at his best, it just kind of sounds like the pinnacle of music in a lot of ways. Like it's perfect. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like some people just reach the pinnacle of something, like whatever, like Mike Tyson's a pinnacle of boxing, and Sasha Gray is the pinnacle of gangbangs. But I think Kanye West did achieve a kind of sound that is both universally beloved and also formally interesting. It's sort of the essence of my crypto transgression theory in a lot of ways, because there's many, many, many layers to it, even though it's easily digestible.
Yeah. It works on different levels. But I always think that there's just a level of there's a level of like earnestness, like to, and I know he can be tongue in cheek on the record, but like maybe not earnestness, but like intentionality to like everything. Like he's really considered all angles before, like when he's putting out a product. Like that's why he's one of the best. You know, maybe he's not the best, like, technical, like, I could play the piano, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he thinks in a different language, bro. Like, it's not just the language. It's not just, like, English. He's thinking on, like, a higher plane about, like, how is this going to work with that? You know, like, I don't know. Sidetrack here, but.
He's a conceptual artist on a very, very, very massive scale, you know?
Yeah, I think that's why it's so exciting, though, is because it's not relegated to, like I said on my episode, it's not relegated to some museum archive that's never going to see the light of day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he references, like, he does talk about sometimes the art that he really looks up to outside of music, you know, like he funds a lot of James Turrell projects. I've seen some James Turrell shit in person. For instance, I've seen his exhibition at MoCA. It's fucking mind-blowing.
I saw that same one.
Dude, it's mind-blowing. You just close your eyes and all of a sudden LSD hallucinogenic patterns, beneath your eyes. He's also a big fan of Matthew Barney, and Matthew Barney, of course, uses the medium of film to make these sort of gigantic landscape sculptures in a lot of ways. Point is, Kanye is attracted to largesse, and
the sublime, maybe.
Yeah, the sublime, but also it has to be particularly contemporary, because we're not living in a world where a single painting can grab attention. To grab attention, you have to do something that can rupture the entire spectacle of the thing. So, like, for me, that Alex Jones interview, for instance, a great bit of provocateur theater, pissed a lot of people off, but I understood exactly what he was doing. Yeah. He was going harder. He was deliberately going harder than Alex Jones and the other guys, because he was like, I'm going to push you to say the thing that you always leave implied. You know, like, you guys never want to, like, you're essentially, he's saying you're afraid. All right. As much as Alex Jones has been through, you're afraid to go full throttle. Well, here I am. I got my fucking Vetmont racing jacket on and my ski mask, and I'm just going to put it out there. The Jews run the media, period. And they're fucking my life up. You can tell he processes a bit information too much at once. Like, you know, the recent rant that I want to talk about, he has like several fucking ideologies compounded into one. There's a bit of anti-colonialism here. There's a bit of authoritarianism. There's a bit of persecution theater, whatever, whatever. But nothing he says is wrong. It's all basically correct. The French do own all the banks in Africa, you know? Like, So yeah, like just that. Something like that, a leaked video, a leaked fucking rant. That's an artwork. I mean, Vito Sanci, like fucking the Actionists, they would consider that an artwork and they'd be blown away because the way he doesn't have to do it in a gallery for 40 people that are already converted to be in love with this sort of weird shit. He's putting it out there for millions, and the Christ imagery abounds. This motherfucker is crucifying himself on a daily basis for what he believes in, and you have to respect that.
Bro, what you said about like him, because he's gonna tell the truths like at all times, like even if it's uncomfortable. But that's really interesting in the Alex Jones things, because some of those guys, they'd be like, you know, we're censored, we're canceled, we're banned off the internet, you know, we gotta watch what we say so we don't get, you know, our bank accounts frozen. Kanye's just like, he's walking right into it. He's like, I want you to come in. I want you to do all the bad shit that you say you're gonna do. And I'ma still come out on top. But I think like on the note of like the art, it's that his like a bit of what Will was saying, it's like his life is one big art project. And you know, obviously, and look, you could go by the layers. It's like best stage design, best music, best fashion. Then on top of that, it's like stuff that he's doing that's not even artwork is art. Like how his rants, how he lashes out, his social media presence, how he shakes up the game. Like that's all a part of the big project.
It's all deeply contemporary. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever bought any gear specifically because you saw him wearing it first?
Wearing what?
Any gear, clothes, any garments?
I like just picking out like a piece that I like.
Yeah, just like, did you ever see Kanye wear something and be like, whoa, that looks sick, I want to get something like that?
Yeah, bro, I want those masks that he was wearing on the Yeezus tour.
Yeah,
those are so
the Margiela masks. Yeah,
I love, like, so nowadays, you know, talking about his most recent, you know, with Vultures, right? Because he's been all over. They've been in they were in Italy in a villa. They were working on the album. He's also been battling this whole time. There have been, you know, leaks. Like, I don't know what's up with his, like, cybersecurity. He needs, like, an IT team, but he's always getting shit, like, leaked. Right now, they're just working off hard drives and laptops and no internet. They're not sending anything over the internet. But they were working in Italy. And then, I don't know if you saw, they were in Saudi. And they were at this, like, crazy... you know what I'm talking about? That architectural...
He went there for the Francis Ngannou fight. The Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury fight. He was one of the celebs invited.
Yeah, but where they were staying was... Yeah, it was this crazy building in the middle of the desert that's all mirrors, or it's like all glass windows, and it's all just a reflection. It just looks like infinity. But, you know, what I wanted to bring up was relating to the masks is that if you've noticed, he's had this like baklava, like head wrap, you know, obviously that's like taking a bit of that like Arab culture. But I've just been trying to think about the symbolism of like, because he's not scared. Like, he's not covering his face. Like, he has nothing to hide, but he's protecting his head. That's what I think it's about. It's like, he knows there's a target on the back of his head at all times.
Yeah.
But, like, he's still gonna tell the truth in spite of that.
Yeah. I mean, that shit about his, like, trainer, Harley Pasternak, being fucking Mossad is crazy. I went down the rabbit hole and I'm like, whoa, this guy's literally a Mossad agent planted as a Hollywood trainer. I even went on one paranoid rant once where I like wondered if Virgil Abloh himself was a surveillance agent of some sorts, where like, because Kanye's main weakness Which is the weakness of all Geminis, not to get too horoscopy, but Donald Trump falls in this as well, is susceptibility to flattery, you know? That's why I think Kanye ends up letting so many obvious vultures into his inner circle too much, you know, the Fuentes's and the fucking Milos and the countless fucking, you know, denim tears and fucking Virgil and all these people that fucked him over at the end of the day. They gas him up, they exploit him, they get what they want out of it, and then they denounce him pretty much like clockwork. And I think that's even compounded his paranoia now, because it wasn't just like these friends and associates doing it to him. It was his fucking family gaslighting him this way, you know? Perhaps you could say he should have known what it would be like to, what it meant to marry into the Kardashian family. But can you really, like, know what that's, because he's already famous. But all of a sudden, you go from a situation where you're, like, actively doing everything you can to protect yourself from the glare of the paparazzi, and then you marry this woman who turns your life into a spectacle as a job. And I don't think... I think it made him more compelling as an artist, but I think it probably deeply unrooted him as a person. And he is obviously someone who suffers a great deal. And I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know. I feel like I want to give the guy a hug sometimes, you know?
Bro, 100%. I think, like, you know, kind of segueing into the rant, like, what pisses me off, bro, is the... Because there's the genuine, like, I feel that same way. Like, I am on his side 100%. I want to give this guy a hug. I want to give this guy everything. Because he's given me the confidence to pick my own ass up and be like, let's get this fucking thing started. But I hate the condescension, bro. When he goes on a rant, when he has a bipolar episode, which most of the time, it's just him, like, for real, saying how he feels. Because apparently, you're not supposed to do that. And there's this condescension, like, bro, I'm really worried about him. I think he needs help. I think he needs to go to therapy. Or they say, the same liberals who actually go to therapy, they use it in like a pejorative or derogatory way. They're like, yo, he needs to go to therapy, bro. Like, he needs to... It's like fucking Harley Pasternak. It's like, yeah, we're gonna put you back on the pills so much, we're gonna send you back to Zombieland. And, like, they hate him, bro, because they can't control him. And the more you try to control him, the more you prove his point that there's, like, a whole conspiracy against him.
So, yeah, and there for sure is a conspiracy against him. I mean, they're actively trying to destroy him. I mean, we live in a culture where greatness itself is hated, you know? Like, if it's not going to be a full-blown Mossad or whatever takedown, it's going to be some fucking whore who was paid off to say that, you know, you raped her. But,
and that's what he said on this, on these new bars, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was for everybody, but he was like, you know, come sue me to me, like, having a, you're going to get your Kanye, like, your moment. Like, he's like, I'm me too myself before you can even get to me, because you know that shit's gonna be cap.
Yeah, you know, I just see that video, and I think there is an innate decency and sweetness to Kanye that kind of shines through. I mean, he's always got a big laugh, you
he's
know.
Goofy.
Yeah, like he is lighthearted.
Damn, your lips very soft as I turn my BlackBerry off, and I turn your bathwater on, and you
turn off your iPhone. Careless whispers, eye fucking biting ass. Neck, ears, hand, legs, eating ass. Your pussy's too good, I need to crash. Your titties, let them out, free at last. Thank God Almighty, they free at last. We was up at the party, but we was leaving fast. Had to stop at 7-Eleven like I needed gas. I'm lying, I needed condoms, don't look through the glass. Chasing love, all the bittersweet, I was lost. Eating Asian pussy, all I need was sweet and sour sauce. Tell your boss you need an extra hour off. Get you super wet after we turn the shower off.
That's all done, can do say what? That's all them can do. We deal with action thing. That's a bad man thing and that man do. Action thing, you a bad man thing.
Will, did you watch the Drink Champs interviews he did with fucking Nori and shit?
Yeah. I did, yeah.
Yeah, those interviews are great. Nori's a fucking retard, but, you know, he's a cool retard.
For sure.
But,
I do appreciate in that interview when he tries to... Sometimes Kanye will, like, say things, and even I'm like... Can you elaborate? But I won't actually, like, I wouldn't actually ask that. I'd just let him rant, like, go off. But Nori would be like, what does that mean, though?
Well, Nori's, the best thing about Nori is he's so, like, sort of low info that he's just like, yeah, man, yeah, have a drink, bro, have a drink. Yeah, that's sick. Like, not understanding the fact that Kanye's spewing, like, full-on JQ conspiracism. And then the next day, like, Nori put a video up. He's like, yeah, I didn't even really know what he was talking about. I ain't got no problem with the Jews, man. I don't know shit. But, you know, all props to Noriega. I got no issues with him. It's a good show, and I love the Cameron episodes, too. But yeah, like, there's this video I saw of this dancer. She posted a video on Twitter recollecting a story from when she was dancing on the Australian leg of the graduation tour.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, and this was, I think, very telling about his character. He, a big party at his hotel room, he's on his laptop working on beats. His boys are outside dancing with all the pretty dancers. And two of his homies were really sort of harassing this girl. Twerk that shit, bitch. Twerk that shit. And she was starting to feel uncomfortable, and she said, no, thank you. They wouldn't let up. Kanye slams his laptop down, runs up to them, and says, she said no. You respect this woman at my party, or you get the fuck out. Like, he's a straight-up guy. He really, really is. And that only makes his situation more precarious because that the real cutthroats of the world are typically better at navigating this shit because they don't give a fuck. But Kanye cares a lot. He gives a lot of fuck. And that's what makes him a great artist. And it's also the thing that makes him vulnerable. But this has been a crazy year. All the fucking kings of the 2010s that inspired us to be better, to be men that you could look up to, whether it be Kanye, McGregor, and Mr. Donald Trump today, barred from the fucking... what, Colorado made it impossible for him to get on the ballot in 2024. They are systematically trying to destroy the last positive male role models of our society. I'm positive about this. You had Connor with the most bogus fucking rape accusation at the beginning of the year. You got Trump battling the courts. And now you have Kanye, the most powerful and influential artist ever. Not just of now, but ever. He eclipsed Michael Jackson. full stop. And he can't even get his shit online. How do you not see a conspiracy?
It's interesting. He's in an interesting position because he's simultaneously on top of the world, but he's also like, he's like the villain and the underdog at the same time. Which is interesting because I think he's been pretty transparent along his journey about roadblocks that, like, even though he's like got fame, he's got money, he's accumulating like his position, that there are still like the powers that be, or even just logistical things that are preventing his vision from becoming actualized, you know, whether that be like manufacturing roadblocks. Now, you know, he doesn't have a music distributor. He's trying to do it independently, but he's not, and you know, he's not like, and he's trying to do his own thing. And now he has use. That's what that William Blake illustration, he trademarked the word use, which I thought was funny because I thought it was like making fun of the Jews because that was hot at the time, but it just supposed to be Kanye news, supposed to use. So I don't know. He's going to just keep hammering it in to see how far he can get. But he obviously, look, he's persevered so far. Like, he's overcame the car crash. His mom died. Now he went through a divorce. And he's always going to like reincarnate into the next version. But I think that's why I put him on that level of like Jesus Christ, is that he's like the only guy who's going to like march through the fire at this point. Like, he's the only guy, he'll sacrifice everything, bro. You know how much money he's probably burning on this album? You know, the shit that Millions. Might get scrapped, it keeps getting delayed. I mean, you know, he has a problem because he's like, he doesn't know who's a real friend anymore.
Yeah.
He's paying, he's like, when's the last time someone was around me that wasn't on the payroll? That wasn't getting a check?
Yep.
I mean, but he's sacrificing everything for it. And I think people got to see that and respect that. But I don't know, man. It's just, it's kind of scary to think like what they can do to you, even that high up. But I guess it makes sense. It's like, if you're a nobody, I mean, nobody's coming after you, but it's like, once you start getting higher and higher and higher, it's like people want to bring you down.
Of course. And he personally elevated the careers of so many people, like, yep, Demna Gvasalia, the most influential fashion designer of the 2010s and beyond via his work at Vetements and, of course, later at Balenciaga, would have gone nowhere had Kanye West not showed up to Fashion Week wearing a gigantic oversized hoodie. I remember this specifically because people were saying, what is the name of the band on that hoodie he's wearing? They thought he was wearing like a black metal hoodie. And then it was revealed that the word said Vetements, which is just a French word of clothes. And then everyone's like, what's Vetements? Next thing you know, they're this fucking overnight fashion sensation. Virgil obviously took what he could get from Kanye and then left him in the dust.
I never liked the Off-White.
Oh, dude, no. Off-White's trash. It's just fucking, it was just Raf Simons ripoffs 3 years later. Just, yeah, trash. It's just like streetwear ghetto trash. It's like shit that drug dealers buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no fat. But then again, like, but like Yeezy season 10, the one that had the White Lives Matter tees, that was some of the best shit he ever designed. Like, I saw that. It was like a leather, it was like a faded leather jumper. I was like, I want that fucking piece. I could rock the shit out of that. And it never even went into production. So, fuck.
Did you hear the reasoning behind the White Lives Matter, what he said?
No.
He basically said, like, you know, because white people were wearing like Black Lives Matter t-shirts and shit, so they want to tell me that my life matters, like, so condescending. He's like, I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna tell you guys, hey guys, your life matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny.
I wish that he, you know, he's kind of like, I always kind of think of him as like, I mean, his rants are sometimes very similar to me. They're like, they're kind of Antonin Artaud-ian in a lot of ways. It's very sort of like schizo ranting with a lot of truth in it. But Antonin Artaud was just writing books that were just being read by real fucking heads, you know, like guys in the surrealist movement and whatnot. Kanye's putting this language out, this text out, to be digested upon by people who have shit just going way over their heads. Of course they think he sounds crazy. Most people are stupid and not on that level. But he's still speaking to them in a way, like, he's not being condescending. Like, he's gonna just assume that you can keep up. I fucks with that.
Same. And
Will, what's your favorite Kanye record?
Pablo has been growing on me a lot lately. I think it's Pablo.
Interesting.
I think that's sort of where, because I think the interesting thing about like Yeezus and beyond is that, like, I think he starts picking up the thread at that point that like gets dropped by Coil on like Ape of Naples. And I think Pablo is like the crystallization point with that, where he really is sort of like bridging this gap between like hip hop and post punk that like other people haven't quite grokked. And it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, since 808s, I would say. And
it starts there, but yeah, I think it really
crystallizes
on Pablo. Yeah.
Yeah, because 808s was so unique when it came out, and it got ripped. Like, Drake wouldn't exist without that album. Like, that's his sound, you know? And he has, and the thing with Drake is he kind of just makes the same record over and over and over. Whereas Kanye is perpetually reinventing. But to me, I think the spirit of Kanye that I'm most drawn to came out in Yeezus, because that was like kind of the first, not only the records just so, you had the Lou Reed writing about it for the Talk House in that awesome fucking interview. Where Lou Reed is just like, this kid is bananas talented. Like, like, you know, I we can read through that interview, that review if we wanted. But basically, he's just talking about like, do not hear the amount of fucking things that this guy has going on in one song, and it still sounds cohesive and addictive. It's the hardest thing you could possibly do musically.
Yeah.
But what I like about Life of Pablo is I think Yeezus is his like masterpiece as a statement of editing. You know, like, he was, and this is the one of the lost arts of now. No one knows how to fucking edit anymore. Like,
for sure.
We got the masters of craft being like, oh, here's a 4-hour movie. Like, thanks, Scorsese, you know. But I think Life of Pablo, he's kind of loosening up. It has a loosening up kind of quality to it, and a sort of exploratory quality to it that I like. I actually was at, I had a friend who worked at Adidas at the time. Uh-huh. And he had an extra ticket for the Yeezy Season 3 Pablo record release party come fashion show at Madison Square Garden. I was sitting next to the actress Shailene Woodley, and it was fucking madness, dude. I've never seen so many celebrities. I have a funny story of this. Okay, so after I left Madison Square Garden, everyone was hanging outside to see which celebs would come out from the VIP section. And the rapper Joey Badass, do you know him?
Yeah.
Joey Badass. He comes out And this never made the press, but I saw it clear as day. Joey Badass comes out, and some paparazzo is going, "Rocky! ASAP Rocky, bro! Let me get a picture, bro!" Oh, and Joey Badass fucking loses it and decked the motherfucker before running off into his limousine. It was amazing.
Yeah, that riffs. That's so cool.
Rocky! Yeah, it was nuts. But yeah, like, and I liked the last Kanye record. I do think it was a little over long, maybe, but like the performances, you know, the way that he was presenting it, you know, yeah. Doing these shows, the mock marriage to Kim, the setting up the childhood house, bringing Marilyn Manson out on stage with him, like,
yeah, all that shit was so insane. It's so,
so sick.
So sick.
It's like edgelordism, but not in the corny way, you know?
No, at this like transcendent, like, as we've been alluding to, Blakeian level. Like, it's truly a sublime, glorious thing that he was pulling off there.
Yeah.
So sick.
Yeah. No, I absolutely loved it. And I think that's what kind of the black metal people really respond to, is like, ultimately, you know, an NS black metal band, yeah, they're going to get some fucking gigs canceled, especially in America, but the stakes are low. You know, these guys aren't going right. to walk away with fucking hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. They're just European guys with naughty music. But Kanye is sacrificing a lot with everything he fucking does to make it as real as he thinks it he needs it to be. What do you guys think about the Vultures cover using the black metal aesthetics?
Well, go first. I don't know much about black metal.
I mean, I guess I don't know that much about black metal, but I obviously am aware of like the aesthetics and like the vibe of black metal. But no, I think it rips. I think it's very funny that he's wanting to adopt those aesthetics. I think it's very cool. Yeah, I don't know. That's my take.
I appreciate like how he's always going to put a whole new audience on to stuff that they've never even considered before. And he's going to make it cool for them. Like he's going to be the entry point for a lot of people to a whole other side of music or art that they've never explored before. But in terms of pure aesthetics, it is a way departure from his previous album covers. But also the color palette of it is something way more in line with his Yeezy fashion brand.
Yeah.
So with the text too, I mean, that's a callback to like the Pablo stuff and that color kind of beige as well. So, yeah. There's apparently, you know, this is like Vultures volume one. So I don't know if there's going to be volume two or whatever, but, from the stuff I've heard from the listening parties, and, you know, this whole crazy debate, like, about that rant clip that we wanted to talk about. You know, they had the listening party number one, there was, he just showed up at some, like, random Jamaican restaurant in Florida and then started playing some tracks off of his phone with the DJ. Then they have, like, a real Vultures rave in Miami, which they also couldn't find an aux cord for, so he had to like play local files off of his phone, which were like older versions of the track.
Sounds of like the tracks that were supposed to be bot stratification.
Exactly. And so we're hearing versions that I don't know if this is going to be current, you know, the exact version that's going to end up on the album. Then he has like, then they go back to Saudi because they're trying to work with Timbaland's out there, and they have to like finish up some tracks with Timbaland. Then they go back to Vegas where they're like, yo, another Vultures rave, but you know, the tickets, if you want to come to the rave, it's $2,000 a ticket, and also the live stream is $2,000 if you want to watch it. So then they did that, which I didn't even see any clips from really, but more importantly, they got off the stage and then they were in this like hotel room together. And Lil Durk is like on Instagram Live, and then a whole bunch of Yes Jules and a whole bunch of other people on Instagram Live. And Kanye is like, or Ye, excuse me, is like, yo, we not going to bed till we finish this album. Like, they were supposed to have it shipped on the 15th. And they were like, yo, the album didn't come out at midnight. You know, we gotta stay up. And so then there's this crazy hotel room ambiance, whole bunch of fucking people, musicians. They're writing new verses. They're recording new vocals. They're mixing. They're mastering. Girls' asses are shaking. It's just pure craziness. But I always love how he's gonna work up to the wire like that, like and make the changes that he's gonna need to make. But I think I was just relating this to the Vultures Volume 1 and Volume 2, is that there's all this stuff up in the air right now, because we're talking before the album is released about, you know, verses that are going to get rewritten, stuff that's going to get cut, or what's going to actually end up on the album. So I don't know. It's crazy times. I don't know how I got on that tangent, but here we are.
Yeah, for me, so I kind of had mixed feelings about the album cover. Because there's a couple of his album, like, I've always really admired his visual packaging. And given that I, you know, am sort of a noise, or at least was a noise scenester in my youth, visual packaging is very important to me. I love Dark Twisted Fantasy with the George Kondo painting of him with his whore, you know? And I love the Yeezus packaging, which is literally just like a blank CD, sort of his announcement of like the record industry is fucking dead anyways, and here we're creating something new. I'm pretty sure he's had a couple other ones that I found really compelling. And certainly, like, the music videos of Kanye are always unreal. I even remember when he did the famous video. With all the, I mean, that video is so fucking cool. With the, it's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. Did you ever see the video of Werner Herzog talking about it?
No, I didn't know that existed. What's up with this?
I'll try and find it for the credits, but they show it to Werner Herzog, and Herzog is like, "This is very, very interesting. Who made this?" They're like, "Kanye West." He goes, "Kanye, I think I've heard of him. He's a rap man." And they're like, "So what do you think? What do you think?" He's like, "If somebody submitted this to my film class, I would accept him immediately with a full ride." I was like, holy shit. So one of the kings himself sees something here.
Yeah.
But the black metal thing, okay, so I know where it's coming from, because there is like a lot of this crossover right now. Like, there's this talk that Kanye learned about Peste Noir and maybe has been corresponding with Famine, and I'm sure he knows who Burzum is now. What confused me about it, though, is black metal... the whole point of black metal, as opposed to other forms of metal, is it's not about fear of Satan, it's about the embrace of Satan.
Right.
And Kanye is a Christian, or at least he's claiming to be. But then I thought to myself, well, maybe that's what it's about. That, yeah. he's in this sort of contradictory space, that he's always going to be embracing, or he's always going to be fighting the embrace of Satan, the embrace of that darkness, and this is a way of kind of controlling it or living within that world and still being, I think it's about a Christian struggle to an extent. And and again, it's still kind of cool because he is the biggest star in the world, aligning himself with guys that sell, you know, 1,000 discs a pop on fucking Discogs. Yeah, it's funny, like thinking about like top 10 rapper lists, obviously like Kanye, I don't even know if I have him on my top 10 rapper list because I just don't consider him really a rapper anymore. Like, he's just become so much more than a rapper. You
Right,
know,
yeah.
I have like my favorite rappers, you got fucking Ghostface, Ice Cube, Big L, Prodigy, Raekwon, Scarface. Those are my six, I think, off the top of my head. But Kanye's music to me, well, I mean, Wu-Tang means a lot to me too, but like Kanye just occupies a different level of my admiration and respect. You know, I respect him in the way that I respect Lars von Trier, or like, you know, like just something so much bigger than that. You know, like there's a feeling that I get from his work and his existence that makes me want to be an artist, that makes me want be free. He inspires freedom, I think. And yeah, he like the it is hard to be free now, especially in the arts. Only in the arts, really, dude. I'm watching fucking UFC all last week, and these motherfuckers can go as hard as they want, say the most out-of-pocket offensive shit, and all is fair and game in the world of fight promotion. But here, while I am fucking Monday, happy as a clam that one of my all-time favorite writers puts my novel, or sorry, my manifesto on his best nonfiction of 2023 list, and then 2 days later, fucking deletes it for God knows what reason. We can only speculate. If that, and not to sound, I don't want to give my saboteurs the satisfaction, but obviously that shit's no fun. Kanye's dealing with that way wider scale because he has achieved fucking everything and he's made motherfuckers rich and he is still getting the door slammed in his goddamn face for doing. I mean, God, there's other rappers who fucking do time for murder and come back forgiven. Kanye's never hurt a soul. He's never advocated, and it makes kind of sense in a lot of ways. Like, gangster rap, even though a lot of it is great shit, let's face it, it is a bit of a cultural psyop to get young black men to venerate a lifestyle that winds them up dead or in jail by the time they're 20 fucking years old. Whereas Kanye, the one artist to come from hip hop culture to tell people to be the best version of themselves, to make their dreams come true, to be driven, to have ethic, to have moral clarity, to have aesthetic, all these things that you would want a man telling young men. And he's the one under nonstop character assault. The cultural messaging of that is fucking loud and clear. I wish people would see that more. Like, when they celebrate crime or say that's not bad or whatever, they're just saying that so people to usher people into prison and death. It's population control. And I think Kanye's kind of tap I think he's kind of realized that. I think that's what a lot of his rants are about. You know,
I
you
wanted,
guys, go
yeah.
ahead.
No, I wanted to mention this before, about when I was relating it to people talking with pretension, like he needs help, is also like when he lashes out, bro. Like, look, I'm nobody. You know, when people get in my face and say shit and my back's against the wall, like I lash out. But can you imagine? Like he's made this analogy before, like, you know, Kobe Bryant, when he sprained his ankle, people don't harp their whole image of his career on that one injury. So when he lashes out, or he has like an episode, or he goes on a crazy rant, it's like you cannot make that the summation of his image, because he's like, he said, mentally, I'm playing back, like mentally I'm in the pro leagues. That's where my mind's at. I'm in the NBA of fucking existence. So yeah. when his bro, he's at the one of the most famous people, influential people on the planet. Could you not imagine that when everybody has an opinion on him, when the whole world's pitted against him, could you not like even empathize why he would react the way he's going to react? That's just mind blowing to me, is that I don't think people really understand where he's coming from. And then now this is just kind of not to divert the topic this way, but it's just,
no, it's interesting,
like,
though.
Let's relegate this to he's got mental illness. He needs help. He needs more medication.
Yeah, well, not many people who come from humble beginnings have pierced into the level of power that he has. You know, he's seen behind the curtain.
And he's still the same.
Yeah.
That's what the scary part is for him, is that, like, yeah, he's not. And look, there is that battle between, you know, we could say like God and Satan, you know, and like he's had his struggles or whatever he wants to admit that is. But he's definitely a multitude, like you said, of ideologies, like multi-truths, because he's human at the end of the day, you know. But I don't know. I think the part that, because he's just a truth teller and that he's not given into what people want him to be, that's what really scares him. That's why they gotta like try even harder to take him down.
Yeah, dude. I just think that like once you see on the other side of that curtain and you're not accustomed to like the depravity and callousness of the people who actually control the world. And he's an expressive guy. He's an sensitive person.
He said, as I'm HSP, he said, I'm a highly sensitive person.
Yep. And
just like you, Adam.
Exactly. And I think that's a hard thing to decompress. And I applaud him for like he could have just become aristocracy and, you know, like there, you know, Nandor Nabai, an artist I respect, you know, he's like the Forbes list. That shit is bullshit. The real families who control the world, your Rothschilds, etc., they're not even on the Forbes list. You know, this is old hidden aristocratic money. You know, the Elons, the Jeff Bezos, they're rich as fuck. But they're probably not the behind-the-scenes string pullers that you think they are. They are to an extent. They control information. But there is still an old guard of wealth, especially in the financial sector, especially of a certain sort of religious persuasion, shall we say. And he's seen all of it. It's fucked, and it fucked him up. It's depressing. I mean, dude, Conor McGregor, again, I keep mentioning him, but they are very related in a lot of ways. He's never in his life talked politics or anything, because there's no need to. His whole goal was to become become the most famous prize fighter of all time and to make generational wealth for his family, which he did. But then this immigration crisis in Ireland pops off. It took a day for Irish authorities to start throwing legal bullshit at him. It's just how they do. This shit is all real. Like, they'll let you in, but they're not going to let you run your mouth. That's just how the way of the world works. And courageous people are always vilified. Always. This isn't exactly novel to our society. Jesus Christ himself was fucking crucified. Joan of Arc, crucified. Fucking God, so many great people who triumphed and achieved were vilified. And it's gonna, I don't know where Kanye is gonna end up. Is he gonna be okay? I really don't fucking know. I worry about him all the time. I worry about that new wife of his. I worry about I worry about the people he surrounds himself with. He's very, very, very vulnerable. And no matter how much he's accrued, I do think it is possible for them to take everything away from him.
Bro, they freeze his bank account at a moment's notice.
Man, I can understand how it might be kind of hard to love a girl like me. I don't blame you much for wanting to be free. I just wanted you to know.
Swiss only let the beat rock. Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous.
Goddamn.
I made that bitch famous. For all the girls that got dick from Kanye West. If you see him in the streets, give him Kanye's best. Why? They mad they ain't famous.
Goddamn.
They mad they still nameless.
Talk that talk, man.
A man in the store trying to try his best. But he just can't seem to get Kanye fresh. But we still hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous.
I just wanted you to know I've loved you better than your own candy. From the very start, I don't blame you much for wanting to be free.
Wake up, Mr. West.
I be Puerto Rican Day Parade floating. That Benz Marina Del Rey coasting. She in school to be a real estate agent. Last month I helped her with the car payment. Young and we alive. We never gonna die. I just copped a jet to fly out of a personal debt. Put one up in the sky. The sun is in my eyes. Woke up and felt the vibe. No matter how.
I'm not even religious, but I would pray for this guy.
Yeah.
But like, I think he's never, you know, God willing, this guy, he's going to be around with us for many more years, but he's never going to stop, bro. He's never going to stop. Cause if you take away his voice, like if you told him like, I'm sorry, Mr. West, you can never create anything else again, he would die. That's on his life. This isn't a game. This isn't just a business. This isn't just a little hobby. This is everything. This is everything. I wish we all had that. Like, I wish I had that same level of commitment to the art. It's like, this is everything. And that's what Ryan was saying last episode, is that he can't be longhoused. He can't be held down. He had a wife and kids. He's going to make it work. He's making his whole life around what he wants to achieve, what he wants to do. He's not playing backseat to that. That's so difficult, bro. Like, it. Yeah, I don't. I look up to him.
See, for me, like, just that amount of. Dude, when I take psychedelic drugs, for instance, the first thing I always tweak out on is, why the fuck do I use the internet so much? Why do I need this attention? Why do I draw it to myself? Why do I give away the private, intimate details of my life in any way? It seems like madness, but you just get caught up in it. It becomes a necessity to keep the career going or whatever. I think it's perfectly normal for him to bug out. I mean, I think it'd be weirder if he was totally fine. You know, like, it's weirder that Kim Kardashian, for instance, can live with that amount of fucking eyeballs on her at all times and keep her shit together. It's far more human to be like, oh my God, billions of people are watching my every move, and to freak out.
And or like, you know, remember that time he was down in I don't know if it was South Carolina, whatever, he was on his presidential run and he just started crying 'cause he thought about his daughter getting aborted. And people were like, people said that was a bad look. I'm
No.
like, damn, you know how empathetic that is? You don't know how like a sensitive person might feel the pain of something like that. Like something hypothetical like
Oh,
that.
dude, I've
And
been
like
there.
how vulnerable you have to be. Like he's not putting on an act, bro. You
No.
if you think he's ever trying to like put on, that's it's completely wrong.
No,
'Cause
he's
you
not doing a character.
no.
Genuinely not. The performance art of him is the fact that there is no performance. You know? It's truly the boundaries between his life and his art are fully disintegrated. You know, I take on a character. Like I have to become someone else to perform because I'm not okay being vulnerable in that kind of way. You know, I have to present a version. It's not like it's not me, but it's just like a version of myself with the chest puffed up that is like telling myself I'm invincible or whatever. But I could never just be like me, totally raw like that. And that in itself, I think, puts him in the 0.00000001% of human beings who can share the intimacy of their life to such a huge extent and to still survive. And that's what he fucking said, dude. He said, "I'm still alive. God damn it. They haven't killed him yet. God fucking bless."
Kanye West bars.
Oh, sidetrack. I just wanted to ask you guys this because I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Did either of you see Zone of Interest yet?
I have not.
Have you heard about it?
I haven't. So pill me. What's the deal here?
It's Jonathan Glazer's new film. His last movie was Under the Skin, where Scarlett Johansson played the alien who seduced men into like a puddle of mind-blowing film.
Okay.
Mind-blowing visionary director. He also did Sexy Beast, which is a great cult crime film with Ray Winstone and Ben Kingsley. He's cool because he only does like one project a decade, and it's just like flames every single time. So,
Okay.
Zone of Interest, and Will, you have got to see this as an appreciator of sound design, okay?
Okay.
Saw it at a Lincoln Center AMC the other day with Bradford and our ladies. I knew it was going to be dark, but I didn't know the extent to how fucking gutting this thing would be. So it is essentially a biopic of Frederick Hoss and his family. Frederick Hoss was the commandant of Auschwitz.
Oh, okay.
And the movie is played as a serene domestic drama about Haas and his family living at their house, which is on the border of the camps. And they're going about their days, serene picnics, floral images, pinks, and intimate scenes between man and wife. And he uses, I believe, Mika Levi and another guy did the sound design, the perpetual sounds of gunshots, screaming, children screaming, all in the background that the characters can hear because they're right next to the fucking camps. It is not simply a Nazis are bad movie. The movie assumes you already know this. Thankfully. What it actually is a insanely profound sensory experience, highlighting the profound capacity for desensitization and for cognitive dissonance. Because this family is like, they're this working class German family that thinks they made it. They're like, look at our beautiful home. Totally just blocking out the fact that horror of the most macabre and disgusting kind is literally on the other side of their backyard. I was profoundly unnerved by this movie, not just because I'm Jewish, of course, but just because the way it was done, you know, it was relying on our own historical memory. We know what's happening on the other side of those camps. It doesn't need to show us.
Yeah.
Absolute visionary 10 out of 10 fucking masterpiece that I will never watch again. Straight up. But I think should be experienced by every single person. Perhaps I'll write something about it at some point. And it blew my mind. I mean, Under the Skin was itself an extremely visionary and unique film, but to do a biopic like this, it was just insane. And, you know, and then there's all these little scenes where they're talking about the, hey, if we have this many furnaces, we can exterminate these many bodies at the same, like, you know, the callous and coldness of the Nazi regime. And the desensitization to violence. Oh, and the wife was so scary, dude. And Haas himself was brutally tortured for weeks by British soldiers and then executed at the Nuremberg trials. His wife, on the other hand, who was 100% complicit, obviously. She gave her husband up, but only after her oldest son had both his arms and his legs broken by British soldiers. I'm sure it must have been a horrible scene, but they weren't playing around at that point. Right. So they shattered the boy's kneecaps with the butt of a rifle, and she still wouldn't give up her husband's location. And then they snapped his arms, and then they put a gun in his mouth. And then she finally gave up his location. They captured Frederick Haas. He was hanged at the Nuremberg trials, and he wrote a lot of stuff. He knew what he had done. You know, he felt the remorse of it. He talks about getting lost in ideology. I read a lot of his papers afterwards where you just stop saying, you stop even thinking twice about the orders, and that he knows he's going to be burning in hell, et cetera, et cetera. His wife, on the other hand, remarried and got to live in America the rest of her fucking life, which is just like absolutely fucked. But there's this absolutely incredible image in the film. Towards the end, Frederick Haas, he keeps thinking he's sick. So he goes to a doctor's appointment. And the doc gives him a checkup. He's 100% physically healthy. He leaves the doctor's office and he walks down this long, dark corridor. And he retches. He's like, he dry heaves. But he can't puke. And the image, of course, means that this guy is forever soul sick. He knows that he'll never, ever, ever be forgiven for the things that he's done. And I can't get this fucking movie out of my head. I couldn't sleep the night we saw it. And I think everybody needs to go and watch this thing just to be reminded of what film is capable of when you do things with it that no one has ever done before. We'll be right back. it's literally two experiences at once, right? It's like the domestic drama and the sound. And what you kind of notice is you become desensitized to the horror of what you're hearing along with the family. It's such an interesting movie and fucking brutal. So everybody should check that out, and then, you know, comment in the comments if anyone sees it. Comment in the comments if anybody wants to talk about Kanye West some more. You guys have any closing statements or things you want to get across by about Ye before we move on?
Well, you go.
Okay. I guess my closing thoughts are that I'm praying for Ye. I hope he keeps on keeping on, and that they don't fuck his shit up too much. And I'm looking forward to whatever the fuck he does next. I'm hoping Volfears finally does drop and they don't fuck him over like they fucked over Morrissey. Those are my thoughts.
I think for Vultures, it's gonna be a banger, of course. Some of the snippets I heard are incredible. He's back in a different form. Just about how he went. I just think it's amazing. Like, he went from this Donda kind of religious, we're not cursing, to like, no, we're raunchy on this one. Like, he has this bar unreleased track. It doesn't even have a title. He says, fuck in the studio. Come and sit on my laptop and back that ass up like a hard drive. And that was like the most bars I've heard in fucking all year. I don't give a fuck. So I'm ready for it if it ever drops, supposedly December 31st. But we're just gonna be on the ride with him, because unfortunately, you know, it gets dry out here if you're a Ye fan. It's like everything at once. You know, he just dropped this new Yeezy sock shoe thing, new album, new music, new news, use. And then it's like, damn, we got to go another like 2 years with just radio silence. But you know, it's just like enough content that you're just gonna eat off of that for like however long. So best artist alive, really. So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I want to say, Kanye, if you're going to go for this black metal aesthetic, I think you should appoint some dungeon synth producers into your team. I think you could look into using the work of Lamentation, Old Tower, Fiendish Imp, or Old Sorcery. If you're listening, Kanye, these guys could give you some fresh, evil shit. I would also love to hear him sample riffs. I think would be kind of cool, like to hear Dark Throne's Quintessence riffs or some of the Day Mystery stuff. Who's, oh my God. Oystein, Euronymous. Some of Euronymous's riffs on a black metal, on a Kanye record, could be cool. There's a lot that's uncharted territory in the genre of hip hop, no doubt. How many fucking soul samples can we possibly hear, you guys? And this goes to all rappers. I'm a hip hop fan. I think the genre has become fucking trash. I think you guys need to rethink what your work actually means. You do not need to do four fucking albums a year of Pro Tools garbage. I think you need to put the time into an album that Nas put into Illmatic, or Big L put into the Lifestyles or the Poor's and Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous, or that RZA put into any of the early shit. Concise conceptual statements. That's what rap is supposed to be. Narrative storytelling. you know, like, I really like a lot of the Griselda Crew stuff. I like West Side Gun, and I think the beats are fire. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's funny you bring that up, because on the drive back from Chicago, Zai finally played me 6 Feet Deep. That shit, my God, that shit is so good.
Oh, man.
I did not know what I was missing out on. It's so sick.
Dude, you got it. I'll send you some of his... Do you know him and Cam'ron had a group when they were younger? Cam'ron, him, and Mace?
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's called... it's super horrorcore. Hold on. It's... Cam'ron, Mace, Big L, Children of the Corn. Yeah. This shit is desperately needs a reissue because it's only really available on Soulseek rips and whatnot. And Cam said on his sports podcast recently that he's been trying to get all that material reissued. But yeah, Big L is, oh my God, that shit is so edgy, dude.
Yeah.
The line where he talks about not giving a fuck about getting AIDS.
It's tough, man.
But yeah, like I the genre is in such a bad place right now because it's just like they all just flood the market. It's cheap to produce the shit. They're not putting much thought into it. I hear a lot of potential in like the production and beats of something like the Griselda Collective, or also like Danny Brown, right? Like everyone was hyping up the new Danny Brown record.
That was a snoozer.
Dude, I can't remember one fucking track off of it. And
yeah, which is disappointing because he's, sorry to cut you off, but he's, you know, he's notorious for like really digging into his own music and like making pieces that are going to stick around for a long time. You know, crazy sample selection, meticulously written lyrics. I mean, this thing, I know he's supposed to be like matured, but there was nothing for me. I was just,
yeah, me neither. Yeah. And I mean, when I heard Triple X is one of the last hip hop records I legitimately love.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that album. I thought it was so cool to hear like a rap artist not be braggadocious, where like the aesthetic is kind of just like, I'm a fucking loser and a drug addict and a piece of shit, and I'm just trying to like make my way. Yeah. And then that itself became kind of overdone with the SoundCloud rap stuff.
So y'all need to quit, and you wonder why we call you bitch. Yeah. Now I'ma break it down about these freakin' hoes. Claiming this they paper, but I know they wanna fuck on my dog. Play this my role, but I know you lacking on some sense. Get the D&D, letting niggas make your pussy tense. Show no love, put the stub when I hit the crib. Fuck these bitches, get some riches, damn what I'm thinking of. Some girls scammers clown, some girls disrespect. But these freaky bitches don't care who hit they dirty hoes. Falling in love with the fuck in the world. If you wanna take your ass, do it for some money. And then I ain't never let these hoes think you lying. Only this is time. Put them in the freak of fire. Tricks and lying bitches falling short. Pippin ain't no trade, man. Pippin is a sport. This shit is big business, baby. So y'all need to quit.
And then even Earl Sweatshirt, you could always count on to at least be weird. I mean, he does an Alchemist collaboration. How many fucking Alchemist collaborations does this industry need? I know Alchemist is good at making beats, but we don't need every prestige rapper to do an Alchemist collab.
No, I mean, like, it's not an Alchemist, you know. He's not going to go to the Madlib like weird extremities. Like, he's always going to keep it to the format that he knows how to do, which is always going to be a, it's always going to be a banger, but it's like, we got to innovate the form a little bit. I mean, and that's what Ye is going to do though. I mean, you know, I'll just speaking on the Vultures record, it's interesting because a lot of the stuff is contemporary sounds with a lot of commercial appeal. And I feel like some of that is a bit of him being like, you guys could try to cancel me, you could try to ignore me, but like, I'm going to still make the, like, all these, like, literally all these songs could be on top 40.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
Yeah.
And that's what I, that was the point I was trying to get to, is he's the only person who still takes the idea of the album as the artwork. That is the thing. It's not just supposed to be a set of fucking tracks that you, like, bomb Apple Music libraries with, you know? Put some fucking time in. Edit your shit. Make something special. Hip-hop is just, you know, it's been around for 40 years now. It's going through growing pains.
50.
50 years. And, you know, it's well into middle age by now.
Well, it's at its breaking point because it's oversaturated popular culture and popular sounds. Like, every genre that's not even hip-hop sounds like hip-hop.
Yeah.
Have you listened to a modern country music track? It sounds like hip-hop. Have you ever listened to Ariana Grande? That's just trap beats.
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of hip-hop, a lot of rappers are realizing, though, that, like, this is at the breaking point because there's, like, not much more that, like, the balloon's got to pop because we're just at the capacity. So, I mean, that's why, like, I at least appreciate, even if it's, like, you know, a little bit of the entry-level tastes of, like, Lil Yachty listening to, you know, like, Dark Side of the Moon or something. But at least it's, like, let's try to get a little interaction with, like, the history of music at large. You know, there's so much to pull from. I mean, that's what Ye does. Like, you know, he can look, I mean, he could get inspiration from anywhere, but he can pull from different points in history, make it work for him. Then it's speaking to the future. Now we got a future sound. So.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking at the fucking top 25 Pitchfork rap albums of the year, and I don't know who any of these motherfuckers are.
Oh, like the fucking let me look.
They said the best of the year is this guy V's, whose album is called Ganger.
Never heard of him.
Exactly. I don't know, man. Like, I liked the Tommy Conway record. I don't know. It's just like, but not a lot, you know, not enough to go back and listen to it. I like a lot of West Side Gun tracks, but that guy's already got like 30 albums, you know?
Yeah, he's not an, I don't think he's an album, like.
But maybe he could be. That's my point.
Well, that was the point of editing that you were making before. Where's the editing?
Yeah, like they could make, with all the shit they're putting out, they could put in the time to make a real fucking album.
Bro,
not that'll be remembered.
Not to go on and on and on, but like, I just feel like music videos are dead. I don't give a fuck about a music video. The concept of an album is dead. I feel like some of this, you know, it has to do with current culture at large.
Yep.
We're all addicted to our phones. The TikTok is the dominant social media, in which like the attention span that you have is like less than 3 seconds. It's not really even sometimes fruitful to like work on an album for lots of amounts of time and then put it out and it get no press or no support. I'm just thinking, this is maybe a far-fetched analogy, but like, you know, we live in an easy money culture where like the Federal Reserve can print money. It's like nothing has value. Physical goods are losing value. Everything is made of poor quality. And same thing with the ideas and the music, is that everything is like fast consumerism. Like the stuff that you buy that's supposed to be high quality goods, that's supposed to last you years, that shit it gets destroyed too. So we live in a culture where like you're better off buying the cheapest thing and replacing it like every year, opposed to like buying a craft made piece of whatever that's supposed to last you a lifetime. It's the same thing with these albums. It's like the short cycle is what's gonna make us like just what's gonna get us the waves in the short term. Let's not worry about how it's gonna age. Also, like, where's the fucking rollouts, bro? Like, there's no rollout excitement. At least Kanye, like, even if he's fucking delaying it, even if he's like putting it off forever, at least I'm excited about the rollout.
For sure, for sure, yeah. All right, bros, that's a good place to leave it. Matt, thanks for joining the show. Hail
Thank you.
Kanye.
Hail Kanye.
Yay.
All right, later, bros.
He said, Jesus Christ, Hitler. Yay.
Later.
Later, guys.
Don't cry for me.
It's Chicago, nigga.
I don't have no rapper friends. I hang with the vultures. Big ass toaster. Hit your whip and flip it over. Big old nigga. He's a big old goofy. Rudy Gobert. Jump off in that lane. You gon' get put on a poster. My Ferrari F8. Lamborghini Roadster. I turned 10 bricks into 12. Them birds had a growth spurt. We gon' do some shopping later. I'ma need some dough first. Just got some head in a ghost, and I ghost her. Yeah, out of here. Your boyfriend a gopher. I seen him out with her and pretend like I don't know her. I can't do no features with you, nigga. That's a no, sir. Hardest nigga on earth. I'm not really from earth. We don't dial 911. I let off that clone first. I put in my own work. Better do your homework. I can hear that money calling. I pick up the first ring. What you gonna charge an old man for that pussy?
The
Girl, don't
Chicago
hurt me.
Nigga.
Gang leaders with me all times. I don't know who I fucked last night. I got Alzheimer's. I don't know who them hoes is. Man, they all lying. Brody, tell me who them hoes is. Man, they all fine. 100 hooligans, and we with the foolishness. I'm anti-Semitic. I just fucked a Jewish bitch. I just fucked Scooter's bitch, and we ran her like a lip. Just got pregnant in the threesome. So whose baby is it? Whose baby is it? My niggas putting dope to ass, pull up with the switches. This ain't Jimmy Butler, but the heat got extensions. This ain't Columbine, but we came in with the
she
trenches.
I ain't for a neck, cause her boyfriend bought that neck.
With the trenches, with the trenches.
Fuck it, I scratched another nigga, woman, I bought my checklist. With the trenches.